All right, good morning and welcome to Capital Chat. Yes, we are kicking off Capital Chat just a little bit early this morning because we learned that there is an event coming up on Sunday and we need to talk about it because that's how we get the information out. It is a rally coming up on Sunday and it's going to be at the Capitol building. And we have Natasha and Jenny in the studio to tell us about the rally, what it's about, who they are, how they have, how they are going to take part in the rally, and who else is going to be there. I think you might be surprised at some of the speakers that will be at this rally. So, Natasha and Jenny, welcome to Capital Chat, and thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Now, Jenny, you are an advocate for murdered and missing Indigenous peoples, correct?
Correct.
And that is really what the rally is going to be about. In a nutshell, that's what it's about. But there's a lot of speakers that are going to be there and a lot of information that's going to be passed on, correct?
Correct.
All right. Well, tell me about it. Tell me how this is all going to happen.
On Sunday, May 5th, which is the National MMIP Day, the Missing and Murdered Indigenous People Day, we're going to have a rally that starts up at the Capitol steps, a rally and a march. So okay. It starts at the Capitol steps at 1 p.m., and we'll have speakers up there till about 2:30 and then march down to the Elizabeth Pradovich Hall at the Clinkett and Haida building where we'll have refreshments and a few more speakers down there.
Excellent. Now, some of those speakers are some of our legislators.
Correct.
Okay, such as Senator Jesse Keel.
Mm-hmm.
And
Ashley Carrick, yes.
Right, Ashley Carrick's going to be there speaking. She's a very good speaker, by the way.
Yes.
And both of those are, as well as many others. So tell us what we should expect immediately. I mean, what time are you going to start? Everything starts at 1 o'clock, but we want to start gathering a little bit before that, correct?
Correct. I'm going to start going down there to set up. We have some red dresses, some red shirts, some things to display to bring up the awareness of the missing and murdered Indigenous people.
Okay.
That happens. Some of the speakers that we have, besides the legislation, is leaders for the community, people that have worked on this task for a long, long time.
Okay. All right. Now, you mentioned red dresses and red shirts.
Correct.
Can others throughout the community, if they can't make it to the rally, can they also wear red shirts or red dresses to support the effort?
Yes.
Okay. And where would they find those red shirts? Is there a specific red that we need to be thinking about?
I think it's just red is the color that spirits, that Tlingit people believe spirits can see.
Really?
Which is the reason for the red dress.
Oh.
And I think it's like more of the darker red more than the brighter red.
Okay. All right.
But as long as it's red, I'm sure awareness gets spread.
Okay. You're a poet. How about that? As long as it's red, I'm sure awareness gets spread. So on Sunday, on May 5th or Cinco de Mayo, wear red. And that is in support of the efforts to advocate for the missing and murdered Indigenous people.
Correct.
And again, you're going to be down there a little bit early on Sunday and getting things prepared. And then you're going to march. Which is the path you're going to march for the Elizabeth Pradovich Hall?
We're going to march from the Capitol steps on the sidewalk so that we don't close off the roads.
Okay. So you're going to go down Main then?
Yep.
Okay.
And then turn the corner there and then march on the sidewalk all the way to.
Okay. So we're going to go down to Egan. And take a right and go past the what's now the Sheridan Four Points,
mm-hmm.
and then take a right, go up Willoughby, and around to Elizabeth Pradovich.
That's correct.
All right, and there's going to be refreshments.
There is.
Okay, and what other speakers are we looking forward to? Do you have those off the top of your head?
We have Sea Alaska speaking for us. For Rosita Worrell is going to speak.
Oh, nice.
And we have Christina Love. We have the Deputy Chief of Juneau Police Department, Craig Campbell. And we have Sarah Lynn from AWARE is going to come and speak. I'm going to speak, John Garcia is going to speak, and we're both speaking on behalf of the MMIP
okay, and
advocates.
I see Jackie Peta.
Correct.
Clinkett and Haida, first vice president. She will be one of the speakers. Also, John Garcia, another MMIP advocate.
Mm-hmm.
And one other that I see on here is Sabrina Boone.
Yes.
From TNH Emergency Operations Manager. She will be one of the speakers as well.
Correct.
With you, to your right, my left, is Natasha. Natasha, you are, what is your part in this?
I am the Community Advocacy Manager, and we do victims of crime, and so under this, this issue is really huge for our department, because there's a lot of advocacy being done at the federal, state, local, and the tribal. Tribal law is really, they're really trying to work together to really try to, especially Alaska, because the rates are so high for missing, murdered Indigenous women and men.
Women and men. And of course, you know, if they're missing and murdered, they can't advocate for themselves.
That's
so
correct.
We need people like yourselves to do this work for us and for them and bring awareness to it and get to the bottom of it. You are a I'm sorry, say that again. You're a
community advocacy?
Advocacy. Okay, so you are the person, the contact person. That is what we need to know, is that you are the person to contact if people have questions, need more information, or or want to bring something to light. And how would they contact you?
You can contact us at 463-7766.
7766. Very easy number to remember, 463-7766. And how about you, Jenny?
For my contact information?
Yes.
My direct line at my desk is 907-463-7396.
7396, okay. And these are the folks that if there's something that has not been addressed, has not been brought to light, you can contact Natasha or Jenny and get the message out, get the word out. What about websites for this particular effort? Is there a website that or a Facebook page that people can go to show support?
I think that Clinkett and Haida has an event on there for this event.
For the TNH
through our communications,
website.
Yes, through our communications social media page.
All right.
And then also, there's also Missing and Murdered Indigenous People for Alaska on Facebook also.
Yeah, yeah. There is a Facebook page specifically for that. Just go to your Facebook page and look for the Missing and Murdered Indigenous People page that will go along with Facebook, and like that or follow that page and show your support. Again, you can wear red this coming Sunday, May 5, and show your support for their efforts. Or you could just go downtown to the Capitol building up there on 4th Street. 1 o'clock is when the event starts. The speakers, there's going to be a couple of speakers there, and then everybody's going to gather and go down Main Street, up Glacier, and then up to Willoughby to the Elizabeth Peratrovich Hall, and get yourself some refreshments. Hear some more speakers over there.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Fantastic effort, and I expect to see quite a few people there. And you're going to have some cruise ships to compete with on the street. So if folks are going downtown this weekend, if you're driving downtown, just be aware of that. We do have several cruise ships over the weekend, and there's going to be this huge rally as well. So just slow it down a little bit, maybe take your time, give yourself a little extra time. Jenny, Natasha, thank you for coming in and bringing this to us, and we'll continue to push for the effort and hope to see people wearing red on Sunday.
Yes, thank you.
All right.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for being here. Always a pleasure to chat with folks in the community, find out what they're up to and what their efforts are all about, and that's what we just did. So this coming Sunday, May 5th, it is the big rally for the missing and murdered Indigenous peoples. It's going to be at the Capitol building, and we want to see you down there wearing red, of course. You're listening to KINY 800 AM 94.9 FM, and we have more Capital Chat coming your way. Keep it right here.
More Capital Chat next, KINY.
All right. Welcome back to Capital Chat on KINY 800 AM 94.9 FM. In the studio, Beth, I'm going to try to say your last name again. Weigel?
You got it.
All right.
And, German, yeah.
And Lily Hope to join us. Beth from the City Museum. And Lily is here to talk about the new exhibition that's going to be at the museum, kicking off on a first Friday. And what looks to be a very sunny and warm first Friday.
Excellent.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a nice one. So tell me, first off, you said something about, hey, Mike, if you want to say the title, I don't want to even try the title because I'll hurt myself. First day with a new tongue and all. So what's the title of the exhibition?
Okay, well, we're gonna play you the title in Tlingit, recorded for us by Ishmael Hope. So here's our title.
Yish kuu atke, kasha de nakhiyan sok jis.
Yeah, that would have caused me some heartache.
Well, we can shorten it a little bit and just say Yesh Kuwu, which is Raven's Tail. And
Yesh Kuwu is Raven's Tail.
Yeah, okay. And that's a form of weaving that Lily's going to talk a little bit about here. But basically, the title translates to Raven's Tail Regalia for Future Leaders.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Now, I know that Lily has been working on some weavings and working on quite a few of them over at the Zach Gordon Youth Center. Now, are some of these going to be in the exhibit?
One of them is almost done, and the second one is a little farther from done. No, they will not be in the exhibition.
Okay.
But they're down at the Zach Gordon Youth Center, and you can always go visit them there.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay.
But her other students have been working very hard on weaving, and many of their works will be in the show, along with works by master weavers and Lily's a mentor weaver. So we have, I don't know, how many robes and different pieces?
22.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. That's a nice number, nice round number. Now, this new exhibition, curated by Lily Hope, it's going to kick off the first Friday, tomorrow, with free admittance to the museum.
Yes, we still have free admission today and tomorrow, and then Saturday we'll move to our summer hours and summer admission prices, which have gone up a little bit, so it's now $6 for seniors, $7 for a regular adult, and of course 12 and under is still free.
Excellent, excellent. And that's gone up, you said?
Just by a dollar.
I was going to say, it doesn't feel like it went up there. Okay, so what time's the start?
We usually get underway by 4, but 4:30 is the official start on Friday, and I think we'll have not only the first Friday with some refreshments and things like that. Lily will take a minute to stop and talk a little bit about Raven's Tail weaving because people will probably remember that we did a similar show of Chilkat weaving last year. So she's going to let us know a little bit more about how those two types of weavings are different. The history arc is very different for Raven's Tail. And she could share that now with you.
Okay, yes, please do.
Sure. Chilkat weaving, I guess, is earlier, later. Raven's Tail weaving predates Chilkat and has basketry patterns, black and white imagery, and no cedar bark spun into the warps. And there was a period of time where there was no living teacher for Raven's Tail weaving.
Right, right. I remember you told me that last time you visited. And now I have a question regarding the title. Mentor weaver versus master weaver. What is the difference?
I follow my mother's lineage in that I do not ever refer to myself as a master weaver. That is for someone else to put on someone. I also don't have enough gray hairs or, 20, 30, 40 years of practice. I feel like the master weaver is reserved for 60 and over, and I don't know that that is, I don't know who's making that up. That's all in my head.
Those are unwritten rules, aren't they?
They are so unwritten. I mean, I've definitely, if we're going to talk about who's Malcolm Gladwell, he talks about the 10,000 hours. I've done my 10,000 hours. Okay. I could probably weave with my eyes closed if somebody could tell me that. It's a blue strand in your hand.
Excellent.
But I don't refer to myself as a master weaver. Mentor.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So really, when you refer to somebody as a master weaver, that is a name, that is a respect.
Correct.
To from one to another weaver.
Sure.
Versus what somebody would call themselves.
Sure.
So you refer to yourself as a mentor weaver.
Correct.
Because you would like to help others learn the craft.
Mm-hmm. And it keeps me humble.
I see. Very, very nice.
Yeah.
I think I know the other thing about Lily, something is that she prefers to weave with other people as well. Like she doesn't want to sit in a room by herself and weave, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why she started in 2020 during the pandemic, this weaving online with folks, and this is how a lot of this work got started.
Right. Do you find it therapeutic to, when you weave?
If I'm weaving with other people, if I'm weaving by myself, I tend to get into that negative mind too much. But encouraging others keeps me in that, like, bubbles and peppy and all that.
Mm-hmm. I see. You know, having a craft and art form like that can be very therapeutic, and you just got to find the right niche for you, and it seems that you have found yours, and it has blossomed others' creativity when it comes to weaving. This is going to be a nice first Friday. This is a big one.
Yes, definitely. And I think there is a lot of homage we pay to Lily, because that there was hardly any, how many, you said less than a dozen maybe, people who knew how to weave this form?
Well, we've been weaving smaller projects since 1984, 85, when it was woken up by Cheryl Samuel and largely carried by Kay Field Parker. But the number of people who've woven adult-sized raven's tail robes are, you know, less than 20 for sure. And now we have four times that who could weave adult-sized raven's tail regalia.
Wow, that's inspiring to know that the craft has gained new life and will be carried on for some time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very sad thing to know that anything is lost. When you say there is no known teachers and it has to be rediscovered, mm-hmm. so to speak, that can make it very difficult, and we need to carry this kind of a thing on. As we do with all art forms. What else have you got going on over there? You've got pamphlets laid out and everything, Beth.
Well, it's just my usual notes, but we talked a little bit about summer admission and hours already. So we also are continuing on our switch and exchange, the brief history of telephones in the 20th century. And we have a couple of things we've added to that exhibit, which make it really cool. So we were offered the original switchboard from the Alaskan Hotel. So that is now on display, and it's pretty neat. And then also we've brought a few more things out of the collection and created another casework full of information and objects to look at. So that's pretty neat. We also have the start of our walking tours a little bit later here in the month. We do the historic downtown walking tour starting on May 5th. Through September 26th, and they'll be on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 1:45 to 3 p.m. And it's really nice if you're somebody from out of town's visiting. That's a great one to send folks on if you have to go to work or something. And then we also have our specialty walking tours that we offer, and one of them is the geology tour.
Okay.
And that one, we have the first one coming up on May 18th. That's from 1 to 3 p.m., and I believe there's still a few slots there. Kathy Connor and Richard Carsonson lead that one, so, you know, you've got the real experts on that as well. And
I see,
of course,
something over there that says prize on it. That's all I can see from here.
Yeah. You
know, that's got my attention. It's kind of like it's kind of like winning at a card game. I see prize.
Yeah.
So what is that?
We talked about this, I think, before, the Marie Darlin Prize. We accept nominations, and people can apply as well. And it is a $5,000 prize. Lily is our 2023 recipient of the Marie Darlin Prize. And it's just Marie Darlin was a history lover and expert in our community, and this prize was named after her because of her contributions to the museum, and that passes on to other folks. Basically, we're, you know, accepting applications and to recognize folks who have done outstanding works of artistic, literary, performative, or scholarly merit that concern the cultures and peoples of our area and here in Southeast Alaska.
Okay.
So you can check that out on our website. The deadline is May 5th, so you have a couple more days to get in an application or nominate someone. And then we usually decide sometime later in the summer, let the person know, we give them the money, and then we have a big gala. It's not really a gala, but we have a reception, and we just did this reception for Lily about a month ago.
Excellent.
So it's a really nice thing that we are glad that our friends of the Juno Douglas City Museum can support.
Okay, and they can give me the website.
Juno.org/museum.
Juno.org/museum. Get those applications in. Again, the deadline is May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. So as you're
it's coming up.
It is.
It's all here.
Boy, this year has just been, seems like it's been on turbocharge, doesn't it? It's just.
I can't believe it's May. It's true.
Yeah, May 2nd already. So, yeah. Okay. So a lot of stuff going on. First Friday, it's going to kick off at the museum, 4 o'clock, but the official start is 4:30. And Lily Hope is going to be talking about the Raven's Tail weaving, correct? Now, does that, when we say Raven's Tail weaving, does that apply to robes and blankets and?
Sure.
Yes. Just a various items that you can weave. Okay.
Mm-hmm. If we said Raven's Tail regalia, then you would be wearing those items.
I see. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Good to know.
Thank you.
Yeah. Always,
you guys come in here and give me lessons.
Well, we love to make sure folks are understanding not only just current things that are happening, but the history of how they came to be. So
education is the key here.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you both so much for bringing this to us. Look forward to seeing you both for tomorrow afternoon and evening. And we'll see you down at the museum.
Great. Gunesh Cheesh for having us.
Thank you.
Gunesh Cheesh. Thank you both. That is Beth Weigel and Lily Hope joining us on our Capital Chat. We have more Capital Chat coming your way. It is 8:44. Good morning.
More Capital Chat next. KINY. Back to Capital Chat. KINY.
All right. Once again, welcome back to Capital Chat on KINY 800 AM 94.9 FM. I'm Mike Lane in the studio, Beth McEwen and Peggy Cowan. Cow like moo cow, she says.
Thanks.
That was funny. That was some good entertainment there. What's your last name, Peggy? She says, you know, like moo cow. It's cow in. All right. Fair enough. And you are here to promote the League of Women Voters, Juno League of Women Voters, correct?
It's the How to Run for Local Office workshop, and I am with the Juno League of Women Voters, a volunteer that coordinates it, and I'm here with Beth McEwen, who is with CBJ, who is obviously integral to elections and running for office,
right,
and one of the panelists and experts, but we also partner with the CBJ, the public Juno Public Libraries, the Friends of the Public Libraries, and the Juno School District in putting on this workshop. And it is going to be May 11th this year. And yeah, we're here to talk about it.
Okay, now this is how to run for public office. And this is geared toward who specifically? Is this geared towards somebody like students or me, who people who've never run for any kind of a seat, whether...
But, it is geared for all of the above, but it's the primary audience that we tailor the workshops for is for people who are considering to be, again, it's how to run for local office. So it's for people who are considering running for either school board or assembly in this upcoming election. Okay. But we also get a lot of people who are considering helping people who are going to run for local office. So, you know, the campaign managers, the treasurers, or somebody who, you know, wants to help a friend. So we also get a lot of the friends there. And it was interesting you said, you know, anybody that's new to it. The one interesting thing that I have found is in our years of doing this is that there's a lot of returning people. A lot of the panels are made up of current and former elected officials and some staff, a lot of people who have are in office and are going to run this year come just to get sort of teed up and learn again. Yeah, exactly. Just a refresher, yeah. And that's what they say.
And Mike, if I might jump in, thank you for having us this morning.
Course.
And this is Beth McEwen, the municipal clerk for the City and Borough of Juneau. This is a fabulous way for people to dip their toe into what does civic engagement look like on the local level. So it is a workshop on how to run for local office for assembly and school board, but it's also for anyone who might be interested in serving on a board or commission, or who, as Peggy mentioned, somebody who might want to support a campaign for somebody running for local office. It's not just the candidates themselves. We try to provide information to all of the supporters who might be their treasurer or might be their campaign manager. And there's a lot of tools in what we call the toolkit, which is on our website, juneau.org /clerk/elections. And the information about the workshop is also on the website. But there's a whole toolkit that we provide the attendees talking about what does it take to, what's the time commitment? What's the scope of what parameters, what jurisdiction do you have as a local official, whether you're a school board member or an assembly member, all of that. So while it is for the adults, it's a great student opportunity to also learn. So what you were asking about, is this for students? Is this for adults? Right. It's for anyone interested in local government.
Yeah, really. And even if you're running for, if you're a student in high school thinking, well, next year I want to run for some sort of a board in the school, you know, in the school government.
Fun, interesting trivia. We've had two school board members who have been seniors in high school run and become school board members right at their 18, you know, as soon as they turned 18, they're eligible. So we've, in Juneau's history, have had two members of the school community run for office.
That's fantastic.
Well, and actually, we've had more run, because a few didn't make it.
Yeah, more have run,
But two have been successful.
So you mentioned one of the things that people will find out is what is the time commitment to either work on a campaign or support a campaign or be the person running for a particular seat. That, in my experience, I have worked on a few campaigns in my past, and that is one of the things that many people find out the hard way.
Yes.
The time commitment. You need to know that you are going to commit yourself to this effort, whether it's for yourself or for you're supporting somebody. You've got to put some time in to make it work. And you've got to put effort into it. The time commitment can be a surprise, I think. But there are so many different areas that you can work on in a campaign. You can be a writer. You can be a videographer.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you can be the gopher. They're all important spots. How are people going to, are they signing up for this, getting registered for this?
People are welcome to walk in the morning of. It is, again, it's going to be Saturday, May 11th at the CBJ Assembly Chambers at 8:45 to 1:30. But we encourage people to register because then we know people are coming. If you want the toolkit that Beth was referring to that is so helpful, you can get it. You'll be able to get it online and you'll get an electronic version there. If you want a hard copy, you do need to pre-register for that. Okay. And you'll also get reminders and updates and more information about the workshop as it comes up if you register. And the way you register is to go to juneaulwv.org So that's Juno League of Women Voters, junolwv.org/run.
Okay.
And there's information about the workshop and the link to register there. And to what you said about the, you know, about the jobs, the amount of time and those things, our first two panels completely address those. The first panel is on the jobs of assembly and school board members. So what is it that you're getting into? What, you know, people might have gone to a meeting or gone to multiple meetings and watched the upfront, but what happens behind the scenes? What are the other commitments? How much time is it? And for that panel, we have Lisa World, a former Board of Education member, and Carol Treem, a former assembly member, to talk from their perspective. But we also have Frank Hauser, the superintendent, because he's ex officio on the school board and, you know, and key with that. And then Myla Cosgrove, a former deputy city manager. So they talk about the jobs of the assembly member. And then our second panel, to your point again, is on campaign basics. And so for that one, we cover, you know, what are the sort of basic aspects of a campaign, and again have a panel with assembly members and campaign managers.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to ask a question I know the answer to, but I want you to say it out loud. And that is, what's it going to cost for me to go to this?
It is absolutely free because it is a public service, because we want to engage the public. And this is a community service that, as Peggy mentioned, it is a combined effort. We've been doing this for 10 years. And initially, it was the brainchild of Pat Watt, and she was a League of Women Voters member and essentially suggested the idea to those of us who work at the city and the Friends of the Library, and we all collaborated together to start this, and we got so much comments on how helpful this information was, and we needed to continue this every year. So it is entirely free.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and the League of Women Voters, Juno, is a nonpartisan political organization that encourages the informed and active participation of citizens in government. And so that's why we are doing it.
That's a great way to put it.
And that's why we take the lead, because sometimes people feel like, well, if I'm not sort of in the in group, or I don't really know how to do this, you know, I can't serve. And this is, Beth points out, this starts with, you can be on a school site council, you can be on a panel, I mean, a commission. You know, there's ways to get going on service, and then this is the depth of the service. So that's, we want to encourage active participation. We believe in representative government, which is, you know, and this is totally that. We're not promoting any particular parties or any particular positions in this workshop. We're promoting getting people there. And the wonderful thing, the thing that I am just so amazed at since I've been involved, is how giving the, obviously the staff, like Beth and her crew, and the school and the CBJ administration, but mostly the school board members and assembly members and former school board members and former assembly members, they are just so giving of their time, giving of their ideas, open to give, you know, this is what I learned from this, this is the mistake I made. Our community is just so full of wonderful expert, you know, people who are willing to share their expertise. Ashley Beadle was a former campaign treasurer. She comes in and does a wonderful presentation on legal requirements. It's just, we have such great expertise, such depth of knowledge, and such giving people.
We do. And the way you said that, the informed active engagement, that is what we need. And we need more young people to be informed, active, and engaging.
Absolutely.
Particularly when it comes to politics of any kind, whether you're working, being the face of the politician or working behind the curtain.
And one trivia maybe, note that people don't really realize with local government, we are nonpartisan. When you see the candidate names on the ballot, there is not a letter next to their name, and they run as nonpartisan candidates. There is no partisanship at the local level.
Right.
And that surprises many Juno voters and many folks who are running for office. Not to say that they're not affiliated with a political party, but at the local level, what we do is a nonpartisan participation in civic government.
Right. Now, this isn't a how to be a party member. This is how to run for for the seat.
This is the process piece of what are the puzzle pieces, how do we put it together, and because it is a time commitment, it's something that they need to take back and talk to their families about. Because when one person is serving in office, you know that there's a whole family support system supporting them.
Seen it happen a lot where somebody, they won and didn't really know what they were jumping into, how deep the water was going to be. And their family kind of goes, hey, you know, we need you around. So they one term and they're gone. And, we want people to know that they're what they're getting into. Be informed, be engaging, and I want to say thank you to both of you and the League of Women Voters for bringing this to us. And I remember this from last year. Again, before we get out of here, how about the website where they can get the tools, download the tools?
That's juno.org/clerk/elections.
Okay, and anything else you'd like to mention before we wrap it up?
I just want to thank you for helping us get the word out. For anyone who doesn't make it to the workshop, the clerk's office is always open Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30, and we're happy to answer any questions, and you can even get a copy of the toolkit coming to the office.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike.
Beth and Peggy, thank you for joining us on Capital Chat. Always a pleasure to chat with you, and hope to talk to you both again soon. This is KINY 800 AM 94.9 FM.